You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
President Biden basically said to tens of millions of Americans who don't want to have an election month, who want to have an election day, who believe that if you vote, you ought to have to prove you are who you say you are. He basically told all the tens of millions of Americans, the American people are getting pretty tired. Of being called a racist or a traitor or a Nazi because they don't agree with the president's woke neo-socialist agenda. And that is why his poll numbers are on a journey to the center of the earth. And he needs to stop it.
He needs to stop it, but I would not count on him stopping it. January the 22nd, 2022, those are the words of Senator Robert Kennedy of Louisiana, responding to a Georgia congressman who said, all of you Republicans and all of you people who refuse to change the laws the way we say they should be done to make it a federal election law controlling all of the elections in all of the states, if you fail to do so, you're like the ostrich sticking your head in the sand. You're not paying attention to what's going on. Well, you just heard Senator Kennedy said, we are tired as Americans, and that includes black and other minority groups, tired of being told that we must be bigoted because we do not accept the very fact that if we don't agree, then we must be the enemy. We must be bigoted. We had no other option. You're either with us or you're against us. That's what Biden himself said the other day, did he not? We're going to get into that in more detail later. Also, there is news that's been breaking on several different fronts. I'm looking over some of the material, and let me turn off. I apparently have a soundbite audio open here. My fault. And what we have from some is that we're going to see that they're going to do everything they can to make sure that we understand if you're not vaccinated, not once, not twice, not three times, but also if you're not wearing an N95 mask, you will not be fully immunized. I warned you last week. That once President Biden said, we're going to get all of these test kits out free, you were going to see an increase in positive tests. That's just natural. Some might be valid, some might not. It's for you and your family to decide. And then, of course, ordering N95 masks by the millions to be given to the American people, that tells me the next step is, kids in school must wear N95 masks all day long. That's not going to be good for our kids. Chuck Todd, NBC, Meet the Press, has acknowledged Joe Biden has lost his direction. I'd say more than that, but we'll get into that in more detail. We're also going to get into the fact that we have Taiwan last Friday commissioning naval mine layers to add to its defenses against China, expecting China to make an incursion at any point. We're going to also talk about how Russia is continuing to raise the stakes in the dispute with the West over Ukraine. What are we doing about it? Retired Lieutenant Colonel Marine Dakota Wood from the Heritage Foundation would join us with a piece he just wrote on what we need to be doing at this point. Do you think anybody's listening? I'm afraid not. And then we also have the situation that we have so many people at this point that are just confused. I don't know what to do about my kids. I don't know what to do about myself. We'll get into all of that. I do want to take a moment, though, to thank sincerely Crane Durham filling in for me for Thursday and Friday. I know he did a great job. I've heard from many of you, and I appreciate it, and Crane appreciates it. Now, lock and load, ready on the right. For years, I've told you, be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. That's because I know the excellent work Wellington does when it comes to making your home, your business, even hospitals safe. See, recently I asked Wellington to check a relative's home. The relative had been constantly sick. Doctors couldn't find a cause. I asked Tom Wellington, please check the house. After extensive testing, Wellington could rule out mold and other air and water toxins. Well, that was a major relief. And the negative results gave doctors added information. So when I encourage you to call Wellington, I mean it. Wellington, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. A-rated by the Better Business Bureau, Missouri and Illinois. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental.
This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Ever since I was a young boy, I played the silver ball. From Soho down to Brighton, I must have played them all. But I ain't seen nothing like him in any amusement hall. That damn dumb flying kid sure plays a mean pinball.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
He's lost his political identity that got him both the nomination and the presidency, right? What got him the nomination? He seemed electable. He seemed experienced. And he wasn't, you know, he wasn't as far left as Bernie Sanders, something he used his press conference to remind people of yesterday. But he was seen as somebody who was pragmatic, you know, who would do what's possible, not what's impossible. And a year in, he's been focused on a lot of the impossible. And he's not focused on trying to cut deals. About the only one he did was the bipartisan infrastructure bill. And that is a very popular piece of legislation.
That was a popular piece of legislation, infrastructure. When it applied to infrastructure, and there you have Chuck Todd of NBC on Meet the Press talking about how Biden's numbers continue to go down the toilet. We all know that. We all know and can see the numbers in front of us. Everything the man has touched has not turned to gold. It's turned to dust. I don't even mean gold dust. Maybe in the view of some Democrats, well, at least it's gold-plated dust. Listen, there's not a number. I'm diligently searching, even while we're on the air here, trying to find, is there any new survey that says that Biden might actually have improved where he should be? And I'm looking. Let me check this one. Maybe this would be one that says good things about him. I'm looking. I don't think we're going to find it there. Let's find another. Let's find a really liberal site. A liberal site. What do you want to start with? CNN. Sure, let's do CNN. Let's see what they find as to if they can find any solace in the poll numbers, which show that Joe Biden is going down the toilet, and VP Harris is not far behind him. It's creating a problem for the Democrats coming up on this election. 2022, just months away. Do they dare pull Biden out at this point by the 25th Amendment? Nancy Pelosi controls the House. They could certainly file it. But would they do so knowing then that means VP Harris leads their ticket going into 2022, or maybe they wait until after 2022 election? Then they have to worry, well, can we make her presentable enough to become a presidential material by 2024? They really don't have any bench strength. I'm sorry. They could go back to Bernie Sanders. Why not? Bernie Sanders could bring some to the table that they can't get otherwise, but it's going to be more progressives. The moderate Democrats who are already fed up with the way Biden has mishandled things and watching the crime run rampant in our cities and prosecutors put in place with George Soros money are not willing to just simply say, okay, law and order is in your purview. You do what you think is best. That's not going to be good. I mean, they have proposed, literally, in case you missed it, they literally have proposed getting rid of federal jails. So nobody belongs in prison? Nobody? What would you have to do to be put away in prison? Apparently it would not be enough to kill four or five children. It wouldn't be enough to burn down a nursing home with 20 people infirm who can't get out. Where do you draw the line that says, well, that was over the line. That was heinous. This one over here, they shot a cop. Big deal. Big deal. I want to take you back. Pardon me, my voice is fading a little bit. Bear with me. I want to take you back to some remarks of Chuck Todd when he was appearing on Meet the Press, and then during an opening segment, he did cite Biden's 43% approval rating showed he had lost his identity. Biden was no longer seen as competent and effective in the eyes of voters. Put me down on that list. I don't think he's competent nor effective. And he says this is spelling a potential shellacking for Democrats in November. Now, President Biden's news conference last Wednesday was, of course, intended to kick off a second year of his presidency. Maybe you should not think about that. Last Wednesday began his second year of his presidency. What he has accomplished, when he stood in front of the media, and he did stand up there for a long time. I'll give him credit for standing there, and he was reading notes, prepared questions and prepared answers, calling on specific reporters. But the bottom line is, as he stood there reviewing what he's done for us for the past year, it was, how would you want to spell it? Zippo, zero, nothing. He has opened our borders. We have 2 million illegal aliens in the country. ICE is purposely withholding numbers of deportations and those taken in over the last 3 months. Why? Because somebody like Alejandro Mayorkas, Department of Homeland Security, knows if those numbers come out, it's going to look even worse than we expected. And here's the other thing to keep in mind, and we're going to get into it later in this hour of my guests coming up. Lieutenant Colonel, retired Marines, Dakota Wood with the Heritage Foundation, about Russia and Ukraine. this is an escalating, explosive nitroglycerin that has to be handled carefully, and including China and Taiwan. But we have Democrats saying, we need to be ready to fight Russia at Ukraine. We got to stand there and fight for the borders of Ukraine. Our border? We don't care about our southern border, but we're going to stand and we want to see a fight against Russia at the Ukraine-Russia border. Do you really want to? Chuck Todd added that voters still prefer Democrats control Congress, but by just one percentage point. Do you know how frail that is, one percentage point? Usually a race and a survey of that has a plus, minus, minimum 3%. So maybe they're really 4%. Or maybe there are less than 3%. When I start looking at all of this, I also go back to what we've had under this current administration. And that is constantly, compared to the way they handled Trump, they've looked for ways to boost and improve Biden. The numbers don't lie, but the liars lie. Let me give you a piece from five-time Emmy Award-winning journalist Cheryl Atkinson. She has seen an increased effort, she said, to manipulate the public to appreciate censorship and disprove of journalism. I ask you to consider that for a moment. We want to appreciate censorship and disapprove of journalism. When this administration came in to power, holding the House, the White House, the Senate, I told you then, all the big tech companies, all of the, quote, what were mainstream media companies, were now state-controlled media. So in this piece that Atkinson gave Epica TV's American Thought Leaders, she said nearly every mold of information has been co-opted. If it can be co-opted by group and, quote, fact-checkers are no different. Either they've been co-opted in many instances or created for the purpose of distributing narratives and propaganda. This is all part of a very well-funded, well-organized landscape that dictates and slants the information they want us to have. This is Cheryl Atkinson speaking. She said in 2016, she had heard former President Barack Obama say that news needs to be curated, after which mainstream media, as it was called then, started to consistently use the term fake news to describe mostly conservative news stories that they demanded untrue. She was referring to Obama's comment on the White House Frontiers Conference that took place in Pittsburgh, October 2016, when he said, and I'm quoting Obama now, "It is relevant to end our democracy, citizenship." I need to correct something. I put a word in there that should not be there. That is on me. Let me read it correctly. "It is relative to our democracy, citizenship. We're going to have to rebuild within this wild, wild west of information flow, some form of curating function that people agree to. Well, maybe I wasn't wrong. When I said he was saying it's relevant to our democracy and citizenship to end information, that was wrong. But when I read his statement, I see they want to control and have some kind of curating function that people will agree to. Which people? You people? And by you people, you listening, are those who refuse to buy into this whole argument that we might actually have a conspiracy underway by state-controlled media. We've already had the acknowledgement from YouTube, their fact checkers, which will shut down things left and right that they don't like. They will admit, fully admit, that they are not real fact checkers. They're not basing anything on fact. They're basing it on opinion. Okay. You have an opinion. I have an opinion. We could look at the same story, and it's your opinion. It says this, and it's legitimate. It's my opinion. It says this, but might still be legitimate if you change this part of it. But yet we've been given the attitude that simply being a fact checker makes you a professor of ethical journalism. A PEG, a professor of ethical journalism. I would say it makes you a pig in a sty that can't find its way out and doesn't care to. We'll take a break when we come back. A Black Lives Matter chapter making some stunningly insensitive comments about police officers shot in the line of duty. Stand by, please.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
I have a lot of friends in police officer training. Not just training, but on the streets already. And others who decide they want to go in. They've taken the attitude, somebody has to hold the line. The violence is getting out of control. But unfortunately, holding the line means putting yourself in harm's way on a constant basis. There have never been such things as routine traffic stops. There is no routine traffic stop. You never know what's going to happen. But I want to look, at what happened in D.C. over the weekend. We had two police officers basically ambushed. Now, for all of you liberals out there, you listen carefully, because this is where you would have sent some of your social workers who are trained to supposedly talk someone into nonviolent behavior. The mom had called police saying her son was going berserk, needed to be controlled. So what do you want to do? You want to take a 20-year-old, 22-year-old grad out of sociology class and say, here's the address, go up there and see if you can talk to the man. No guns, no weapons, no police. And there are those who think that if police go to something like that, majority of the time they don't use a gun, so just leave the guns in the car. These two officers knocked on the door, and suddenly a guy inside opens fire. One officer is killed. Then the guy went on the run. This was a poor neighborhood, Harlem. Do you really think they don't want more police in their neighborhoods? All of you liberals who make these claims, do you live in these kinds of places? No, you don't. You live behind your moats with the gates raised and your electrified fences and your own security guards. And even you congressmen, women, who say we need to reduce police budgets, you hire your own security guards. But then Black Lives Matter, stating, this is the point we've been making for months. Look at the reaction and coverage tonight. Tearjerker press conferences, proclamations of heroes coming soon. Imagine if people knew these folks' names. Being black in D.C. is more dangerous than any job. And response is, I don't want to spend all the time getting into it. The bottom line is, one of the officers was not white. I know that. I don't know if the other was actually black or a mix or what. But the assertion is always thrown in while police officers trying to help black people. They were called there for help. They didn't just suddenly say, oh, let's pick an apartment and barge in and see what kind of reaction we get. These people are stupid, and they're going to get you killed. Coming up, Russia, Ukraine, China.
Ackerman Toyota has the perfect new or pre-owned car for you. But Jay Ackerman also has a mission to help charities that make a difference. Ackerman Toyota supports food banks, veterans groups, head injury victims, charities battling cancer. Ackerman Toyota at Hampton and Interstate 44. Ackerman Toyota for life.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Welcome back. We are in the process now of lining up my guest. You've heard him on numerous times before. And you don't have his number in there, do you? Well, am I stupid? All right. Let me give you this. Bear with me a moment, folks. I've been battling this stuff all day, and I'm not as clear as I should be. I'm gonna send this to you, Mark, on a text mail. Folks, you're watching sausage being made. It is not pretty. I'll send it on an email. Never mind. Just hang on. I'll send it on email. I can do it a lot quicker that way. This guest we've had on numerous times before, and he is the kind of guy that I rely on when it comes to a world conflict, because we do not always have people that we can count on to give us a full, clear assessment of what's going on. Mark, here comes his email, his number, and you'll just be able to call this. And, folks, I apologize. This is a lack of preparation of your host. No one else. I wasn't sure they were going to be able to make it in, to be quite honest. Kind of came down with a little cough and a little cold. You got it now, Mark? Send an email. Send an email. All right. We'll come in here and I'll just run off a copy then. Um, Mark, come back in here. Let me go ahead and just give you this guy's number. Yeah, come on in. This, yeah, his number is right. Dakota Wood, I'm sure you're waiting to wonder what the hell's going on, and I don't blame you, sir. I would be absolutely incensed. Had to try several different ways to reach him today, and we will use here it is. These numbers. Here it is. Here. Come on in here and get this. And we may carry him over as a result of that number right here. Just go and take that phone with you. See that small number, 540. And I'm going to give out the full number. But, and we're going to ask if he can to carry over because of foul up at my end. I can't know the touch of this croup. I'm not saying I have coronavirus. I'm just saying that I came out with a cough and a croup today, and I'm going to get it checked out later. I've already been vaccinated. I'm not worried about it. It's just the common kind of stuff that goes around from time to time. You got it, Mark? On the phone? Just call that number. Yeah, we'll get him. All right, so here's what we're going to be going into with Dakota. Dakota Wood is a retired Marine colonel, served 30 years in the U.S. Marines, excellent knowledge of military sources and military needs. And we're looking at Taiwan is showing it is already in the presence of laying mines, fearing that China might come in any day. China is sending something like 39 military aircraft into the air defense zone of China on a basic basis. They're doing that basically trying to harass and test, exploit, and just wear out the Taiwanese and their budget. But the bigger issue also, I would not say the bigger, but another equally big issue, is what are we doing about Russian and Ukraine when 100,000 Russian troops are on the border? Lieutenant Dakota Wood, Colonel Wood, I apologize for us getting to you late. Can you hear me?
I can, yeah. It's always good to be with you.
Well, I appreciate it. I've been struggling with a bad voice all day, and haven't been able to get things done the way I normally would like to be prepared. First of all, I'm looking at a piece that you just wrote regarding China and Russia in particular. If I understand, this piece was written, well, what was the source on this one?
1945, I think, .com is what you're talking about.
Yeah, I was just thinking, did I pull up the wrong one? Well, I'll let you set the stage on 1945, and that writing corresponds to where we are now.
Yeah, well, I was trying to address the perceptions in foreign policy and national security affairs as they relate to the relationships between the United States and other countries. So perception is reality.
Right.
So if Russia and China and North Korea and others perceive that the United States is weak, we're unready. We are disrupted internally and distracted. You know, we're not coherent. Then they take advantage of that. They say this is the moment to strike, you know, for Russia to invade Ukraine and to disrupt NATO and all of Europe, for China to make a move on Taiwan, North Korea in the wake of the debacle in Afghanistan and the horrific withdrawal has already announced that it's reconsidering restarting its nuclear weapons tests. So the president has to come out confident, reassuring allies, not just in words, but also in actions. You know, what kind of support are we providing Ukraine? what is our military presence in the Western Pacific? And these messages, if they're coherent and they're backed by action, create a different perception in the minds of our competitors, and they keep these sorts of problems from occurring. And right now, the White House is just completely disorganized, and one can't hardly know where their head is in this game, and it certainly isn't helping conditions there in Europe or in the Indo-Pacific.
We did not see any of this during the Trump administration.
Now, you could have thought that Trump was a crazy guy and all that stuff, but if you were in Moscow or Beijing, you have to account for that. You know, you have to account for a willingness to ripple fire 50 Tomahawk cruise missiles into Syria when Bashar al-Assad decided to use chlorine gas against his own people, right? You didn't see this open support by Iran with the Houthi rebels who are now launching missiles against the United Arab Emirates, right? Or yesterday or this weekend, China flying something like 40 aircraft into the airspace in and around Taiwan. You know, would Russia have mobilized 100,000 troops, 1,400 tanks, 1,100 artillery pieces, you know, and all the other things that it's doing there along the borders of Ukraine? You know, would they have done that when Trump was in office? No, because they had to account for, you know, the actions of a president, you know, who spoke boldly. And we're not seeing that sort of thing out of the White House.
Well, let's put aside the presidents and how they dealt with it, or if one appears weaker or stronger than the other. We have pointed out, and you have pointed out numerous times, that our military capability has been decimated. We cannot carry on events at two fronts, can we?
No, we've got fewer than 300 ships in the U.S. Navy. Over half of those are greater than 20 years old. Of that 300, let's say, maybe 100 are available on any given day. Only 60 of those are applied against the Pacific Ocean, you know, Korea and Japan, the Philippines, that area of the world. China has 360 ships. That's a 6-to-1 advantage that they maintain over the U.S. presence, plus everything they have that is land-based that can reach out 150 or 200 miles.
Let me quickly ask, but despite the numbers, are our craft too aged?
Rapidly, no. I mean, you know, yes, they are aged. You're talking about the quality difference with China's. China put into the water 22 new warships last year. The United States built and sailed three. And two of those three, were very small ships with very little combat capabilities. So China is rapidly modernizing its capabilities. The United States only has two brigades, so about maybe 8 total battalions, no more than 10 in Europe. Infantry and Stryker, kind of an armored personnel carrier. Russia has 1,400 tanks.
We have an overall big picture. Can you stay with us through a commercial? Because I want to drill down on some details here. All right, you're listening to retired Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, 20 years in the U.S. Marines, now with the Heritage Foundation, also contributes to the Daily Signal. And there are some details that we've just discussed that I think need a little closer examination as to how it will or will not end up affecting Americans and maybe at the polls. Please stand by.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
My guest is retired Marine Lieutenant Colonel Dakota Wood, serving our Marines, Semper Fi, sir, for 20 years in the U.S. Marines, now Senior Research Fellow for Defense Programs at the Heritage Foundation. We've got a good overall lay of where we stand right now with Russia and China and how our forces stack up. Before we go into that any more detail, Russia is planning live firing off Ireland's coast. That's not setting well with anyone.
No, it's not. I mean, these are, I want to say unprecedented, but they go back to Cold War days when the Soviet fleet was sailing around doing lots of things. So I think Vladimir Putin senses an opportunity. He senses weakness on the part of the United States. He's having live fire land drills. He's live fire naval drills. And his Air Force continues to press the airspaces around our northern NATO partners and related allies, you know, Norway, Sweden, Finland, those countries up in there. So a very, very aggressive posture, and we just don't have much in Europe in any way. He's got 50 battalions around Ukraine. We have something like 8 or 10, right? The average age of a U.S. fighter aircraft is 30 years old. So it's I think we're at a very high risk period of time here.
Well, the word coming out now is that Biden is authorizing 8,500 U.S. troops on heightened alert to deploy as the Russian troops mass. But I don't get anything other than the fact that Defense Secretary Austin issued the order to deploy at the direction of the president. I don't see where they're moving yet.
Well, they've talked about plussing up a force presence in the Baltics, which is Lithuania, Latvia, and Estonia, to the north of Ukraine, and in Eastern European NATO countries like Romania. Again, this is on the periphery, so that if Russia moves into Ukraine, you see some kind of a spillover, this is a signaling sort of thing. But sending over people is one thing. Do they have the equipment to do the kind of job that Vladimir Putin would take seriously to deter? So, again, we've got no armor in Europe. We've got very limited artillery. Germany, the whole country, has fewer than 300 made battle tanks, and they're wanting to stay out of this. They won't even allow Great Britain to fly through German airspace to deliver anti-tank and anti-air weapons to the Ukrainian military.
Well, how does this stack up when Trump did have to deal with Moscow and Crimea? Well, actually, it began on Obama's watch.
Yeah, it did. And you know, we saw Trump plus up defense accounts. He was very much more bold in his statements, and he was haranguing our NATO partners for good reason, that they weren't spending enough on their own militaries. So at that time, Putin just didn't sense an opportunity to make the kind of moves that he's making now under the Biden administration's watch.
And the other thing is that we have basically helped them supply and get the money they need with the Nord Stream pipeline, and now we're less energy dependent than we were before. So how much is that in play?
Well, it makes Germany much more dependent on Russia, which makes them less willing to rattle the tree, you know, to do something that might tick off Russia.
Would they leave NATO and then would France follow?
Yeah, they wouldn't leave NATO, but it essentially makes NATO ineffective, right? So whether people stay in or leave, if NATO as a community doesn't respond aggressively and in a unitary fashion, then what does it matter how many countries are in NATO, right? So Germany's decommissioning its final couple of nuclear power plants. It wants to go green energy. It's going to be dependent now on natural gas out of Russia. So you don't want to do something that makes Vladimir Putin mad, because then they increase the cost, right, of the gas going in, or they shut it off like they've done with Ukraine and other countries that didn't align with Russia's national interests.
And aside from that, we still had China weighing in the balance, and the Chinese play the long game, don't they?
They really do, because there's nobody else really in their neighborhood. I mean, Japan is finally taking notice. They've doubled their defense budget from 1% of gross domestic product to 2%. But you know that it takes a decade to turn promised money into actual military capabilities. It takes the United States roughly 3 weeks to sail a ship from California coast to the South China Sea. I mean, you just don't have a lot of
business. That reminds me of Britain and Grenada. We're coming. We'll be there in 8 weeks. I want to thank you, Lieutenant Colonel Wood, again for your extra time and your expertise. I'll be reaching out to you in the future as this moves forward.
Please do. Always a blessing to be with you. Thanks.
Thank you. Semper Fi, sir. All right, folks, coming up in the second hour, this mass vaccination protest in D.C., the state-controlled media just wants you to look away. We're not going to. And then we've got some saying, I'm tired of being called a racist. Stand by.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.